This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it may be the summer recess, but there's plenty going on here in Washington and around the country.
Indeed there is, and the temperature is not the only thing that's hot around here.
Well, let's start with the heated tempers going on at some of these town hall meetings. A lot of people very upset, very concerned, very afraid in some cases of what the Obama version of health care reform would do. These people are showing up in huge numbers. That a lot of them have read the 1,000-page bill and know their stuff pretty well. The White House says, though, there's a lot of disinformation going on out there. So which side is winning the PR war and why?
Well, at this point, I'd call it a draw. On the one hand, the administration has clearly suffered because poll numbers of those who, one, support the president on health care, and two, believe that health care reform is a good idea, are dropping dramatically. On the other hand, there's always a sympathy factor. Americans don't like hecklers in general and don't like people being shouted down. We saw that in the 1960s with the anti-war demonstrations who were eventually hoisted on their own petard because of their behavior. We may well see it in the behavior of the town hallers. On the other hand, one makes a good point when you say they have read the bills. Congressman John Dingell of Michigan appeared at a town hall meeting in Romulus, tried to defend universal health care, an issue he has backed since the 1950s, and people began to shout at him, "You haven't read the bill." The net has made people more aware of their government and more aware of what to read and where to read the fine print. When lawmakers behave as though they don't, the voters get mad. My guess is this will pan out after a while, and as White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs noted, the president was treated just fine when he went to New Hampshire. So far, he hasn't experienced the hostility at town meetings.
Well, he hasn't, but there have been some who said that that town hall, which was allegedly not manufactured by the Obama administration in terms of who got to ask questions, has come under serious question. But, John, you mentioned the press room, and that's heating up as well, correct?
Absolutely. For the first time yesterday, I saw Robert Gibbs getting a little bit irritated with my colleagues, the men and women of the White House press corps, and it had nothing to do with a cell phone going off. On four different occasions, he referred to misinformation. On another, he blamed special interests, which he defined as those who don't want change from the status quo on health care. And, of course, he told the press on numerous occasions yesterday, "I think some of you were just waiting for a hostile question from that audience in New Hampshire." That's a rough quote, but that's about what Robert Gibbs was telling us. Yes, he has his irritation now and then. Usually it ends up in laughter with his now famous sense of humor. Well, it wasn't too funny yesterday, and when he said thanks, guys, at the end, for the first time I got the impression he was glad he had it over. Was I seeing the reincarnation of Scott McClellan during the Valerie Plame affair? Time will tell.
John, the president is also coming under a little bit of fire now for not focusing on a growing story that probably deserves more attention, and that's the escalation of our military operations in Afghanistan, a major offensive going on, perhaps even more troops heading to the theater. All of this, of course, happening with Afghan elections now just about a week away from today. Your thoughts on how the administration has articulated this or not articulated this, and how the escalation of hostilities there is being viewed here at home?
Well, I saw some skeptics and one magazine cover that referred to Afghanistan as Obama's Vietnam, ? As the president was paring down the U.S. mission in Iraq, he was also talking about increasing the number of troops in Afghanistan, a position that General McChrystal strongly backed, and increasing U.S. presence there. Now, the problems with this are the bad news that comes back from Afghanistan, just as it did from Iraq before the surge, and the instability or perceived instability of the regime of President Hamid Karzai. President Karzai is in an election, and his opponents repeatedly point out that the Brookings Institute rates Afghanistan as one of the five most corrupt governments in the world, and that the president changes his position with regularity. A former cabinet minister of his is now opposing him because he said Karzai was too erratic. The elections will determine a lot, and as Robert Gibbs said yesterday, there will be an assessment in September of just what the U.S. does and where it goes. Right now, Afghanistan is look hauntingly like Iraq pre-surge.
John, let's conclude our discussion by talking about two very strong and prominent women. Number one, the former First Lady, current Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, getting close to the end of her trip in Africa, overshadowed largely by her husband, just as she left with his helping to negotiate the release of the reporters from North Korea. She also had an issue this week while she was in the Congo. A question was mistranslated. She seemed to snap at the suggestion that she was asked to explain what her husband thought about a trade issue between China and the Congo. Your thoughts on her week in Africa?
Well, when she says, my husband isn't the Secretary of State, that certainly says it a lot. And again, Bill Clinton couldn't stay silent for long, and he had to do a little upstaging. Even though he was relatively quiet when he brought the two journalists home from North Korea, people saw him again, people were interested in him again, and when someone's name is Clinton, they want to know about the most famous Clinton of all, Bill Clinton. So the question was natural. The Secretary of State's reaction, albeit because of a mistranslation, did not look good when she appeared in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. But hopefully for her sake, this will be forgotten. Bill Clinton will not be forgotten, apparently.
John, the most famous Kennedy these days, of course, is Ted Kennedy, who is in a very difficult battle with brain cancer. But the family got also, of course, this week, another very sad dose of news with the passing of his sister, Eunice Kennedy Shriver, also, of course, the sister of President John F. Kennedy and the late Senator Robert F. Kennedy, and the mother of Maria Shriver and the mother-in-law of Arnold Schwarzenegger, died at the age of 88 after significant health issues. Obviously, the founder of the Special Olympics and a political force in her own right. Your thoughts on the legacy of Eunice Kennedy Shriver?
Well, I find it interesting you mention who her siblings were, as well as her husband and son-in-law, when Ted Kennedy himself once said, if Eunice had been a man, she might have become president rather than Jack. Eunice Kennedy served as her brother's social secretary when he was a young congressman in Washington. She was quite a fixture in Georgetown and the Washington social circuit. And marrying Sergeant Shriver, she brought into the family someone very much like her own father, a strong businessman, politically savvy, who just couldn't win office himself. Her donations to the Special Olympics are well known. Less known is the fact that she was pro-life and took her Catholicism very, very seriously right up to the end. And a little note on history. Imagine how history had been different had, instead of marrying Sergeant Shriver, she married the boyfriend she had before he courted her successfully, and the man who sent an ashtray to her saying, to Eunice and Sarge from one who lost out, Joseph McCarthy.
Wow. History would have been significantly different at that point. John, fascinating historical anecdote there. Thank you so much for being with us.
As I prepare to dare the heat and go out for some incendiary weather and talk at the White House briefing, I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.